my weekday fix? Darling, it has to be Radio Gorgeous.
You're not a smelly poo, are you?
You're not a smelly poo. You're a lovikins.
That's Donna. She doesn't know she's being recorded, but she is stroking Kissy Moo, the office dog, who now has a mention on our contacts page. So you have to go and look. By the way, hi, my name's Josephine Pembroke. This is Gorgeous Gossip. And I'm here with Kissy Moo, Donna Freed, and me, Josephine Pembroke. Hi, Donna.
Hello. I did not know you were recording.
I know. That's
yeah. Yes, I was having a meeting with our office manager and customer relations expert, Kissy Moo.
Exactly. At last, she's got a title. It's really good news. Later on the show, we've got Amanda Ruth. She's going to be talking to Pauline Giles, who's the founder of Bosom Buddies UK, which is a charity which she set up for girls in school to learn to feel their breasts for cancer. She's really adamant.
Not just to feel them.
Yeah, not just feel yourself up, feel the breasts. So check your breasts. So we're going to have an interview about that later. But first of all, we're going to talk about our week. Now, Donna, what have you been up to? You said the word weekend. You haven't gone any further.
Well, I was on a rescue mission this weekend. We drove down to Dorset. And as you know, I'm a new and inexperienced driver. So I have a car that's about 10 years old and it really guzzles oil. So I conscientiously filled the car with the remaining oil that we had prior to leaving London. Good drive out there. Great. But it's really getting, you know, the engine was really smelling. You know, and smoke.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And the engine light came on.
Oh, God.
Sort of just, and the oil light. Just as we got there.
Mm.
And my brother-in-law used to have the same car.
Oh.
So, right. You know, do I even look at the car? No. Anyway, so my brother-in-law looks at the car and then goes so far as to open the hood.
Bonnet for us lot. Okay.
Right, bonnet. Anyway, yeah. And while I had filled the car with oil, I had neglected to put the cap back on. So the oil had splash.
Darling, what a mess. What an oily mess you were in.
Exactly. My engine light's still on. So I think dear. I have to go over to the nice mechanic man for him to have a look at it.
Okay. What was the rescue mission?
Oh, yes, it was peony rescue. My husband's mother was an amazing, brilliant gardener. And she's now in a nursing home, and they've sold her house. And there's this peony that she has had since the kids were little. And my
Can you explain what a peony looks like?
It is similar to, and I'm just going to forget, a dahlia.
Okay.
So it has lots and lots and lots of petals. It opens somewhere between a dahlia and a rose. It's very densely petaled. And when it opens up, it's just absolutely sumptuous and
what
gorgeous.
What color is this one?
This one is claret, which is the same color peonies we had at our wedding.
So this flower was planted by your husband's mother. How long ago? And where's it been in its life?
Over 45 years.
I didn't know a plant could last that long.
Exactly. And it has moved from Birmingham to Stevenage to Hutton the Hole to Honiton to Wimborne, which is outside of Poole. So many different climates. It was protected from my husband and his two other brothers and his little sister playing football all this time, all these moves. And considering I usually have like the black thumb of death, I've probably killed it, but I thought it was worth trying.
So how did you do, what did you use, a trowel, a fork, how did you do it?
Well, I sat there with a cup of tea and I watched my husband dig it up. So he's dug it up. The roots were massive. Imagine like a little bulb, and then it's grown over the years. It was huge, absolutely huge, like a basketball size thing.
So what did you wrap it in?
An old planter that we also like the look of.
Okay. Wrapped it in that,
yeah.
Brought it home on Sunday, and did you plant it immediately?
Immediately, straight away.
Did you have a spot already prepared in London?
Yep.
Is it facing south, west, east?
It is facing west.
Okay.
So it should do all right.
Yeah. Against a kind of wall or?
It's in a little planting bed next to the fig tree and one of the campanilla.
So the most important thing is to water it at the moment. Yeah.
I'll put my husband right on that.
Okay. Oh, I can see.
Not
what you're
my forte.
Doing. Yeah. But it was your idea to bring
it. It was my sentimental idea to say that. So yeah, I'm full of good ideas. Yeah, it's just the follow through.
Okay. Mm.
What have you been up to?
Well, yesterday was an oldie lunch.
And I just thought,
I really want to go out. I've been staying in, I've been working, I've been putting my head down, I've been, you know, just doing family-ish things. I thought, I'm going to get dressed up. So it's the first time I took out the new handbag.
Now, do describe the handbag.
This is because I went on holiday to Turkey, and I didn't know, but this is a place called Kalkan in Turkey in the summer, that it's famous for, it makes fake handbags. And we're not talking horrible fakes. We're talking perfectly copied fake handbags. Now, I've never had a real handbag. I've never been into fakes before in my life. But because I was there with my niece and my daughter, they were so into it. They were like running around. They were, got to have this, got to have that. And I thought, oh, I'm going to run around and I'm going to see which ones I was like. So it was like, oh, do I have a Valentino or do I have Prada? And they were all kind of very normal looking. And I like to stand out in a crowd.
Never you.
Yes.
Yes, you.
So I walked past the shop. I just saw this fringing coming down, really long fringing. And I went to bed and I thought, I don't know what it was, but I think it was a handbag. It had fringing. I want it. I didn't really know. Went back to the shop and he said, I've only sold three of these. It's a fake Versace. We're going to put it on the website. Fake Versace with fringing that goes down to my kind of calves. It's so long.
It is over a foot long.
It's incredible. Yeah. He said it's more like a dress, the man.
Yeah. Well, and it's circular, got its own real estate.
It does. And it was like taking a pet out. Honestly, you know, you had to
think. Kissy, don't listen to that.
You had to think about it all the time, you know. It's like, when I went on the tube, it's like, can I put it on the ground? No, it's got to go on my knee because, you know, it can't. And then when I sat down, it was like, you know, you had to, it's like tying up the pet, you know, but it won't run away. No, but I didn't have to tie it up, but I had to, it knocked a chair down because it was so heavy. Wherever I went yesterday, it was causing a sensation, but no one commented on it.
Did they think it was too over the top?
Well, I just think they just didn't really notice it. And I should have been more, you know, held it up in their face. I did say to one woman, do you like it? And she went, I hate it. So, but you like it, don't you, Donna?
I absolutely adore it.
Okay.
I adore it.
Because it
is
on.
I saw it hanging when I came in today and I was like, oh, I love that
but
bag.
It is the verge of bad taste. We've got to be honest.
It's on the line.
Because he did say the only other two people that have bought them were one Russian and two Italians, which is a sign it might not be the most tasteful handbag.
It might be a little bit over the top.
A little bit over the top.
A little bit.
Anyway, when I was at this oldie lunch, there were three speakers there. They're all men, so I couldn't seduce anyone for Radio Gorgeous. One of them was Griffiths Jones, which he hasn't got an accent. He's a comedian. He was really funny. There was another man talking about sheds. Marcus Harmon, who was okay. But then the star man who was sitting two stars up for me was an Earl.
Mm, Princess, Earl of?
Princess Diana's brother.
Oh.
Charles Spencer. Yes. I don't know what he's the Earl of. I can't remember. But anyway, so he was sitting two up from me. And of course, I had to lean forward and have a little chat. I was introduced. Oh, yes. Hello. Nice to meet you. You know. The man sitting in between is an editor. And he said, oh, yes, so Josephine has Radio Gorgeous. So I told the Earl all about Radio Gorgeous. And I said, by the way, we really want you on. I suddenly thought, look, let's get the Earl on. Let's get the Earl on. Come on, this is good. You know, we've had Princess Michael of Kent. Let's get an Earl on. You know, I will suck up occasionally to, you know, posh and celebrities, you know, just for my job, you know. And so I said to him, I said, you know, Radio Gorgeous. And I told him, you know, it was about the sort of people we had on and everything. And I said, please, will you come on to it? And he said, no, I'm too scared.
He saw your handbag.
Yes,
that's what he thought it was a growth.
I just love it. Princess Diana's brother is too scared to come onto our radio station. Everybody, how cool is that? And so now let's go over to our guest. It's a lovely Amanda Roo interviewing the divine Pauline Giles from Bosom Buddies.
Good afternoon. My name is Amanda Ruiz and I'm reporting for Radio Gorgeous for the Business Entrepreneur slot. Today, I'm interviewing the gorgeous Pauline Giles, who runs the breast cancer charity Bosom Buddies UK. Hello, Pauline. Can you tell me a bit more about yourself, please?
Hi, I'm a tenacious female. I've escaped from Cornwall to expand the charity. Yeah, I work like a terrier and I need things done immediately.
Right, well, that sounds pretty good. Actually, I know Pauline personally, and I would describe her as a one-woman tornado. So, girls, listening to this show, I think you just need to watch out because she'll be in your space and in your face very, very soon. So just tell us a bit more about your charity, Bosom Buddies UK. What's it all about?
Well, I had breast cancer in 2010, and it gave me an opportunity as a businesswoman to see the other side of the disease and could see what was working and what wasn't. So I've set up Bosom Buddies, and I am enlisting a load of girls who are sort of like quite young, who've had breast cancer, to be buddies, to go into schools to educate the Year 11 girls. Year 11 is the 16-year-old girls who are just about to leave school. It's the last time you can get 90% of the female population in one place to teach them anything.
Yeah.
So if we can teach every year 90% of the female population to check yourself and see no fear in the disease and to come forward early, then we're going to make a massive difference to breast cancer.
Yes. Well, that's amazing, the work that you do. Now, tell me about this Malteser. That's a real catchphrase within your organisation, because a lump the size of a Malteser, is that something which is a bit too late that you've spotted it?
Well, I think that we're trying to use the whole lump thing. And I have to say before we go any farther that breast cancer is not always a lump. People do need to be going onto my website and hitting the how to check button to check themselves properly, because, you know, we're talking about orange peeling, which is when you get the tumour attached to your skin.
Right.
If you put your arms in your air, the skin looks like the size of an orange, mm-hmm. and you do need to check for other symptoms other than a lump.
Okay, so we all think that breast cancer, well, I thought that, you know, breast cancer is purely having a lump. That's not the case then?
Not the case at all. There are several different things that you can find, so they do need to make sure that they check for all those. But going back to the lump thing, we try and use food to show the girls what they need to be checking for,
right.
and why they need to come forward early. So it's sort of like it's the size of a pea.
Yeah.
You think, oh, it's nothing to worry about and it'll go away. The next time you get in a shower, you check it and it's the size of a Malteser.
Right.
Now, something's not right there and you're starting to think, I need to tell somebody. And very often, somebody will go and tell a friend or one of their family that they've got a lump that they're concerned about,
yeah.
which is good, because the next stage is the size of a sprout. And
wow.
when you've got something that size, then you really have got something to start worrying about.
Okay.
So what we're advocating is the sooner you find something, the less surgery and
yeah.
aftermath you get. So basically, if you find something that's the size of a pea, you shouldn't feel that you can't go to the doctor about it because you're worrying him for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
This is your body and this is your life.
Yeah.
So please do make sure that you go at that stage, because if it's found that early, it'll most probably mean a very, very small invasive operation.
Yeah.
And called a lumpectomy. And most probably you won't have to have any follow-up chemotherapy.
In the bud. Yeah.
Absolutely. So what I say to the girls when I go into schools, you know, you're 16, you just found boys.
They've just found your boobs.
Absolutely. You know, your best assets are your hair and your boobs.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't tell anybody that you've got a lump, that's the two things that you're going to lose.
Okay.
And that's the one impactful sentence that I say that makes them all sit there with their mouths open.
Yeah.
Because that is as simple as it is. You know, if you ignore it because you want it to go away, the truth is it's not going to go away.
Mm.
And if you don't do something about it, it's going to bite you on the butt.
Yeah. But, I mean, with breast cancer, obviously it can tackle you or hit you from a very, very early age all the way. I remember my headmistress having a mastectomy when she was, like, what was she, about 65? So it hits women of any age, doesn't it?
It does. It's more of a premenopausal disease at the moment, but you do need to sort of, like, advocate checking from an early age.
Yeah.
I know girls in their early 20s who've had breast cancer. And a lot of my buddies are in that category. Mm-hmm. You know, it's something that you just need to get into to do in every month on a routine on the same date every month, because you have to be checking for like for like.
Is that because, you know, what about when you're about to have your period? Don't your breasts get a bit lumpy and bumpy at that stage?
So we say check about a week after your period, because everything settles.
Right.
You know, right through the month, your breasts change in shape and feel. Mm-hmm. So if you decide that, you know, your period ends on the, I don't know, the second, I'm going to check on the 10th.
Right.
We were saying put it on your calendar and ring the 10th every month until you get into the mindset of it's the 10th, I need to check today. We all go in the shower every day. It takes 5 minutes.
Yeah.
If you don't know how to check yourself, go on my website and hit that button, how to check.
Right. Okay. Now, but we're here to talk about entrepreneurs, and I want to know how exactly you have grown your following. When I first met Pauline 12 months ago, she had about 30,000 followers on Twitter. She's now grown it to an approximation of 42.5K. It's incredible. So Pauline's all about awareness and trying to get people, more and more people, involved in her organisation and knowing all about what she does. So how the hell do you grow it?
I think with me, it's not just about tweeting about the disease. I want them to know me as a person, so that they know that I am living, breathing, and I do the same things as you and all my other friends do on a daily basis. I'm not some prima donna that's sitting in a big chair somewhere who doesn't really know what's going on. I am ground level, and this is what I do. So last night, for example, I tweeted Virgin about their trains not working and saying to them, why have you not got a train in Watford that you can send out then if there's a signal problem in London? You know, think about all these people that you've got stuck. And I do things like that on a regular basis.
So basically, from my daily things which aren't to do with your business.
No, it's a daily life perspective. I'm a female going through my life. And when I want to tweet about something, whether it be good or bad, I'll tweet about it. And people, they resonate with me. They understand what I'm about, and they think, oh, I quite like her because you know, she's not having any nonsense.
You've got a bit of a sense of humour as well. Yeah. I know that you got a whole load of t-shirts with the loads of you know, your logo, which is basically a bra, very sexy. Well, not a sexy bra, but you know, a bra, brassiere, on a black shirt, and you sent them into The Voice, all the judges on The Voice. So you know, I know that you kind of do activities like that.
And loose women have all had the shirts and that as well. So we do keep trying to raise the profile of the charity, and I think that, you know, I can't give up. I have to be doing something like that all the time to keep people aware of it. I go and do talks all the time, and I know very well that a lot of these women will go home and they'll check themselves once and then they'll forget.
Yeah.
And the problem with that is those girls that forget, when they find something, it's a bit of a shock. And sometimes they lose their breast, really, because they have not checked regularly.
Well, they hope it's going to go away.
Yeah. And that's something that we advocate. You do need to get into some sort of routine.
Okay. Well, that's great. So maybe that's probably what you talk about on your social network. So the top five things that you do in order to grow awareness, I think the first one we can talk about is Twitter.
Yeah.
What else do you do in order to gain followers and fans?
We have a Facebook page, a Bosom Buddies UK Facebook page, which I put up all the stories about my buddies and when we do school visits and the interviews with the teachers, so that we show people our value.
Yeah.
This year we've seen 5,000 girls at the age of 16.
That's incredible.
You know, the sad thing is 600 of those girls will be affected, because it's 1 in 8 women getting breast cancer.
Right.
But the great thing is those girls are armed with all the information that they need to keep themselves safe. And hopefully some of those girls will have, they'll come forward early and they'll save their life.
Mm.
So, you know, my job's done, and I'm so thrilled that we've seen that many girls.
Because you, I don't know if you said it earlier, but you are a survivor of it, and you've had a mastectomy.
Yeah.
And
reconstruction.
Flushing your boobs, you can't tell which one has been reconstructed. So tell us about the, what did they use in order to give you your boobs back?
They took my back muscle, which is the latissimus dorsi, and they pulled it underneath my armpit and actually stitched it into all the blood vessels from my breast that they'd cut away.
Mm-hmm.
So my left breast is a living, breathing part of me.
Yeah.
It's interesting when I'm swimming, because it will sort of like go up and down at will.
Like, is it still a living muscle?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it muscular?
Yeah, yeah. If I flex, the whole thing goes.
Oh, right. It's like a bodybuilder.
Yeah. But, you know, it won't reject, because it's a part of my body.
Yeah.
And at the time, that was the best solution as far as my surgeon was concerned. He did an absolutely phenomenal job. When he told me I had breast cancer, I know that because I just split from my husband, I was quite shocked. You know, and I just sat there looking at him, and he was talking to me, and a lot of it was just going right over my head.
Yeah.
And then he said to me, he took my hand and he said, I won't let you leave my care any less a woman than you are now.
Listen, all I can say is thank you so much. It's been lovely interviewing you for Radio Gorgeous. And everybody out there, check out the Bosom Buddies UK website. Can you tell us what it is?
It's www.bosombuddiesuk.com. And you can follow us on Facebook, which is Bosom Buddies _UK. And you can follow us on Twitter, which is the same.
So hopefully after this interview, she'll be reaching 45,000 followers on Twitter.
Absolutely. Overnight.
Overnight.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
RadioGorgeous.com.
And thank you so much, Amanda, for interviewing Pauline. That was fascinating. Do you feel your breasts?
I do.
Good.
Although it does, you know, I have that thing that it still annoys me that I'm the front line. You know, there's no...
Oh, no, but no, because when you're 50, it happened to me. I went for a mammogram. So
yeah,
it happened to
exactly.
you in a few years. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening to Radio Gorgeous. This has been a Radio Gorgeous production for Radio Gorgeous 2014. And our editor today was Cassie Galpin. Thank you so much. Gorgeous Gossip was presented by Josephine Pembroke and Donna Freed and produced by Josephine Pembroke and Donna Freed.